this mic is used to your hands. Thank you so much. This has been quite many years since I spoke in this church on this Sunday morning. Thank you, Brother Joe, and thank you, Pastor Philip, and all the elders for having brought me back. I am nostalgic this morning. That was my wife singing, and all the and all the pictures from our field area. I want to go back. This is not my place. Wednesday. I'm glad this service is not online because I wanted to share one prayer request this morning. A few months back, I sent out, as you know, we have 500 pastors working in different states of India. That's east, west, north, south. And we have 15 superintendents who can supervise the work in these areas. I sent out a letter to all the superintendents and said, next year, 2011, is going to be the Silver Jubilee year, 25th anniversary for the ministry in India. So I said, what kind of a gift, Silver Jubilee gift, that we can give to our God? There was interesting response from the superintendent. Some said, we will start a Silver Jubilee orphanage. Some said, we will start a Silver Jubilee church. Some said, we will do this, do that. Then I shot back a response to them and said, now, in response of, in area of giving to the Lord, how many souls do you think we can present to Him next year on the Silver Jubilee Day? And all the 500 pastors through their superintendents responded so well that it averaged every pastor can bring in 30 souls next year to be presented to the Lord. That's going to be 15,000 people, new people in the church. But then I said, okay, I'm going to leave all the 400, but I'm going to concentrate on the 100 churches, those who can give 30 baptisms to me on the day of the celebration. And I got back the response from 100 churches, 30 people, which will make 3,000 people. I told them, we are going to have a day selected, and we will give you a time. And at that time, on the single day, we are going to baptize 2,999 people. And that is because I don't want to break the record of the Pentecost. I have still the honor for 3,000 souls that Peter baptized on the day of Pentecost. We want to make one baptism less on that day. Please pray with me. It's going to be in few states that have no permission to baptize. We call them anti-conversion law. You cannot baptize them in those states. We have 7 of the states that have responded where you cannot baptize people. It's going to be risky work, but we will do it anyway. Now, for the word of God, please turn with me to, I want to thank you. Thank you, this church. This was the first church ever that supported the work in India. During the time that we were going through the persecution, Pastor Philip, I got a large donation from this church to help build the houses for those who lost their homes during the 2008 persecution. I want to profusely thank you for the help. We are still in the process of rebuilding homes, rebuilding lives, and rebuilding the victims of the homes, trauma counseling, and all that is going on right now. I would like you to pray for them. Remember to pray for them so that by the Silver Jubilee year, we will be all healed. The trauma will be, traumatic situation will be passed for once for all. And then we'll be back again with a bang to celebrate the Lord and His mercies. Please turn with me. Actually, the singers have already sang. They have preached from all the books of the Bible. And with none for me to preach from. Thank you. I think you should come to that Silver Jubilee and sing that beautiful song. How about that, Brother Joe? Please turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. This morning, I would like to title my message as Commission from the Fire. Exodus chapter 3. I have been given a very generous time this morning, and it is going to be till 12:30, not afternoon, a.m., midnight. Now, Exodus 3, I will read just one verse to you, maybe a couple of verses, 9 and 10. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people. Lord, we pray that you will open up your word for us this morning. We want to listen to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say amen, please. It was a mysterious phenomenon on Mount Sinai. A very awesome experience. We have in this passage, if you read verses 1 through 10, you will see in this passage a remarkable account of how God was revealing himself to Moses. This provided not just a revelation about God, but a clearest biblical description of who God was. If we understand, you know why we need to understand God? If we understood God, the force of our mission becomes stronger. If we understand my God, my mission becomes that forceful. That is why Moses needed to understand God. In Egyptian culture, it was believed that a person's name revealed the character of the name that the person that bore the name. If my name is Joab, that means the characters of this person corresponded with the name. If you say Moses, his character corresponded with the name. The name corresponded with the person. That is why Moses wanted to know the name of God. It is not to distinguish Jehovah from different gods. It is to know and have the revelation of the characteristics of God, the attributes of God, so that he could know who he is trusting upon. And there comes the revelation, I am that I am. That very small word, Jehovah, Yahweh. Very small word, but wraps up so much of meaning into it. I am the timeless one. I am the eternal one. I am the self-sufficient one. I am immutable. That is your God, Moses. And then, many have been trying to discover God. In India, if you go, we have 33 million gods. I do not know where they found, how they found. It is a mystery to know how they found so many gods. But they have them listed out, 33 million gods, and you cannot discover them because you only know them by names. Nobody has tried to discover gods of India. What would be their characters? But God remains still and discovered. Because if we can discover God, he would not be a God. Forever he remains undiscovered. But here, as we Moses goes closer to the burning bush, he is the first one to introduce himself. I will talk about that later on. But as Moses saw this bush burning on the day, he has been there in that Sinai Peninsula many times. And it is not a very strange scene in the peninsula to see those plants burn on a hot summer day. Actually, there was a plant called Dictinus albus, which has the aromatic oil deposited in the leaves and the shoots of the plant. On a hot summer day, on any hot summer day, with a little bit of shaking on the plant, it would burn. But the plants would burn for seconds and die out. But this day, there is a very different sight, a strange sight that Moses is approaching. The bush is burning like any other day, but it is not burning up. That's what attracted Moses. God finally caught the attention of Moses. The bush is burning, but it is not burning up. What is the mystery about the bush? And he goes closer and closer and closer. Suddenly a voice speaks to him. You know, in the Asian culture, most of the Asian cultures, more so in a Jewish and Egyptian culture, the wife would not call a husband by name. My wife never calls me by name. Yeah. And then most people would not call. So when Moses was in the home of Jethro, his wife never called him by name. More so the sisters-in-law that he had, they never called him by name. If I go to my father-in-law's place, I am called Babu even now. If I go to my home, I am called Babu. I am never called Joab. So in the father-in-law's house, they are treated as princes. And they are not called by name. So suddenly somebody, after 40 years, calling him by his proper name. Moses, Moses. You know, he could become nostalgic and say, who is this man who knows my name? I want to hear this name one more time, please. It's a strange thing. Something strange. Nobody knows. The bush, it's not a person. It's a bush calling him. And that too by his name. It's a strange thing, but it's a good thing. And he goes closer and closer. Then he realizes that he is a holy God. When God was revealing himself to Abraham, he revealed himself by his great power. He was an awesome, powerful God. Abraham was getting the power of God, getting to know the power of God. But Moses is getting to know the holiness of God. God is revealing himself to Moses by his holiness. Moses, do not come any closer. How often, my dear friends, we want to tread upon a place where God is with unholy lives. How often we want to handle things. I tell my worship group in Hyderabad, before you take up your guitar for worship on Sunday morning, make sure your hands are clean. Before you take up the songbook on Sunday morning, make sure your hands are clean. Your voice is clean. Before you walk into the house of the Lord, make sure, take care that your body has come under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's where we are exposed to that presence of holiness. Moses, you can come closer. I am not asking you that you should not come closer. You can come closer, but remove your shoes first. That's not the reason why. I think it's a part of that reason why I remove my shoes. A part of that culture. You can call it a holy culture if you want. But I don't mean to say that all those who put on your shoes and preach, they are unholy. But this is Moses' culture. or God, Jehovah's culture. Say, put off your shoes there, because I'm here holy. You're standing on a holy ground. Then he comes closer. Then goes the voice again. Do you know who I am? I am the God of your father, Abraham. God is trying to remind Moses by his forefathers. Or he wants to be introduced himself by the names of the forefathers of Moses. Say, I am the God of your father, Abraham. Do you know Abraham, Moses? If you know Abraham, I am his God. If you know Isaac, I am his God. If you know Jacob, I am his God. And by that name, he is revealing his greatness. You know what happened to Abraham when he said, he is the God of Abraham. He is talking about his impossible nature, God of impossibility. He had no son. I gave him a son at the age when he was totally non-productive. When he said he is the God of Isaac, he was saying, I am Jehovah Jireh. I can provide anything. I can provide anywhere. I am Jehovah Jireh. When he said, I am the God of Jacob, he was saying, I can even transform a man like Jacob into a nice, godly person. I am a transformer. I am a provider. I am a God of impossibility. What else you need, Moses? I have everything in me. I am the God of your father. I am not a myth. You know, in India, if you say, talk about so many gods, you say, they could be a superstition. They are myths. They are not history. But God is saying to Moses here, I am the God of your history. I am not a myth. I am not a concoction. If you turn the pages of your history, you will locate me there in every page. I am the God of your history. My God and your God is the God of history. He is not a fabrication. 40 years of complacent life of Moses is suddenly disturbed by this appearance of God in the burning bush. Fire has finally caught Moses back again. Do you know he wanted to be a deliverer of his own people? He was trying to deliver, and he fought with an Egyptian man, and he gave him a blow with the strength of his hand. That man died. Instead of delivering a man, he actually killed somebody. With his own strength, Moses could not become a deliverer. That's why, at a point of time, God told him, put your hand into your bosom. Moses put the hand into the bosom, and he took it out. It became a leprous hand. God said, this is what you are, Moses. This is what you are. Put your hand back in again. And then he said, this is handsome God's hand. With this hand, you can deliver the people of your own. I will send you. His complacent life was suddenly disturbed, but he is 80 years old now, running after a few dumb sheep. Sheep. Great gold medalist from the Egyptian university. We don't know much about Moses' childhood from the Bible, but historian Josephus, the Jewish historian, talks about Moses. He was a very handsome boy. When he was 12 years old, his mother took him to the throne of Pharaoh of Egypt, and Pharaoh was so delighted with this young boy, and he called him to his throne and made him sit by his side, and he was gorgeous looking on the throne. Then Pharaoh took out his crown and set it on the head of Moses. It was dazzling on his head. But Moses did not like it. Took the crown and threw it on the ground, thrust it. And then Pharaoh felt very insulted, because nobody would deal with the crown of Pharaoh in that manner. He called for the child psychologist. He called for the ministers and said, what could be the analysis of the behavior of this child? One of the ministers said, Lord, this child must be immediately killed because he is going to bring trouble on your throne one day. Sure enough, when he was saying, let my people go, what a trouble he brought on the throne of Pharaoh indeed. This was a boy, not a boy from the redeemed from the, delivered from the bull rushes. He is 80 years old today. And God is trying to meet with his needs. Then after introducing himself, God says in verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. He's trying to remind him that how afflicted his people were. How afflicted they were. He's trying to remind him how they are suffering under the rule of Pharaoh. My dear friends, have you ever seen the suffering of your people? When you take a mission trip, do you see the suffering of the people in that land? When you go there, you know, one of the greatest qualities of a leader is to observe things around. Observe a scene and see what God is trying to show in a new place. In fact, William General Booth was walking on the streets of London one day with his son Bramwell. They walked for a while and General Booth surprised his son by taking him into a tavern, a drinking place. The boy was surprised. He did not know why his dad, a holy dad, such a powerful preacher of God's word, he brought him into a saloon. And then the place was overcrowded with people who drank, who were, you could see the crimes and the devices on their faces. The fumes of the alcohol and tobacco were poisonous. And the boy looked into the face of his father. And the father said, son, these are our people. These are our people. I want you to live for them. Bring them to the fold of Jesus. These are our people. Nobody would like to identify with a drunkard. As you go to the prisons, you see, they are our people suffering there. As you go to the gutters, the lower record in Chicago, they are our people. Those who are staying underground, they are our people. As you go to the tribes, they are our people. Have you seen the suffering of my people? Moses? I have seen the suffering of my people, how they are suffering in the land of Egypt. Actually, I have designed a land for them flowing with milk and honey. They were not supposed to be starving in that place, in the land of Egypt. Egypt describes the world. Our people are not supposed to suffer in the place where there is world, under the rulers of the world. God says, I have seen the suffering of my people. And then he says, I have come to deliver them. A woman was demon possessed. I do not know if you believe in demon possession. But if you believe in that, we face it every week almost in India, in the villages. Somebody will be demon possessed. A woman, man, or child. And there was a woman who was demon-possessed. Then she was tormenting. She was being tormented and troubling the people in the village. She became a nuisance. In the nighttime, she would get up and everybody she sees in the street, she would chase after them. And the village community wanted to get rid of this problem. So they brought many magicians to heal her. But nobody could heal. Finally, one of them said, there is a man of God in the next village. That happened to be our pastor. Call him and he would pray, the demons would go. So this man was called to pray, and then he prayed for this woman who was possessed. A group of men went, a group of pastors went to pray for them. And then the demon was cast out. The whole village again was brought back to peace. Now, after a few days, they come to the pastor. They say, they take him and say, the village head, the headman of the village is calling you. So he goes there. When he goes there, they tied him to a pole in the center of the street there. They said, you have driven out the deity, presiding deity of the village. Therefore, a calamity has struck our village. The calamity was the diarrhea. Everybody is suffering from dysentery in the village. Men, women, children were dying, and the village priest said, the calamity has come because you have driven away the presiding goddess from the village. Therefore, the man who has driven away deserves punishment. So they wanted to kill him. They tied him to the pole, and they wanted to wait till morning before they could sacrifice to the goddess. Towards the afternoon, two young men came that way. And the pastor said, would you come here? They came there. He said, would you please talk to the village elders and ask them to release me so I can go and pray for the village? And my God, who has driven away the demons, he would also heal you from dysentery. And they went and talked to the village head, and they said, is it true that he is going to deliver us from this problem? And they came and talked to the pastor and said, it is true, my God is able to do this. They released him from the pole, and they took him in the very Indian style. He took the Bible in his hand and placed it on the roof of every, you know, the roofs are not big like your roofs in America. You have everything big here. Hamburger is big. Roads are big. Houses are big. Cars are big. People are big. Everything is big. But there, small, heart-like houses, he would place the Bible on the roof of every house and pray in the name of Jesus. He went to every house and prayed. And then that night, nobody went to the restroom. God healed the sickness of dysentery. And they released him. They fell prostrate on the feet before the pastor, and they released him with some gifts, rice and vegetable. Then 3 days later, they come back to him. And when the pastor sees them, he says, oh God, what is the other problem, the new problem? Now they come back and say, you need to come back and pray for our village again. As he said, what's the problem? Everybody got constipated. 3 days they have never gone to the bathroom. And the man of God had to go and pray again, and they were healed. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? My friends, God still is delivering his people. The whole village became Christian village because of the miracle that happened through this man of God. God is still doing miracles. God is still saving people. God is still delivering people. We have to just listen to him and say, Lord is going to deliver. I want to go with him. If God wants to go to a place and says, I am going to deliver my people from the hands of Pharaoh, from the world, I am going to go with him. Wherever God is doing a new thing, I want to be there. That's where I belong. That's where my heart is. That's where my work is. That's why God has bestowed me with all kinds of talents so that God can take hold of me and deliver his people. Moses, I have seen the suffering of my people. And I am not sitting with my fingers crossed. I am going to go. I am going to go. Would you come with me? What a God, what a compassionate God we have. He cannot sit with his fingers crossed when he looks at a problem, suffering of his people. But he says, I'm going to go and deliver them. He is the deliverer. And he wants us to go with him and take that glory from him, because we will share in his glory. Isaiah 60 says, arise and shine, your light has come, the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, the kings to the brightness of your dawn. When you shine out, the Lord's glory shines on you, you shine out, and the nations will come to his glory. Burning bush gave Moses such a great commission. Moses, I am the fire. You are the bush. If you want to go, I'm going to burn in you and make you shine so that they will see Egypt. My people will see the glory of God. God is going to show his glory through you and through me if we listen to him. Arise and shine. The Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. When that happens, the nations will come to his glory. Amazing that God can ask us, invite us to become the participants of his glory, the participants of the great plan that he has for us, for the world, the participants of the great deliverance that he is creating, designing for us. You know, this is all about the harvest. Moses saw such a great harvest of souls that day. They said 2 million people. Not a small crowd. He is going to bring out 2 million people out of the hands of Pharaoh. What a great harvest. Moses was, you know, before God met him, he was always willing to be a deliverer because he was the general of the Egyptian army. The historians say Moses was the general of the Egyptian army. So he thought he could deliver the people. He wanted to deliver, but he became a failure. 80 years after, God is saying, I want you to be a deliverer, and he goes back. He said, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. This is why the promise of the Lord, I am the God of Abraham. I am a God of impossibility. Do you think anything impossible in your mission? 2 months back, the city council came to our orphanage. That's where we are also running a Bible school in the same premises. And the city council came and said, the girls are staying here, therefore the adult, young adults cannot stay here. The college students cannot stay here. Therefore, you have to separate them. Did not know how to do that. But it will take a lot of money to build another house to run a Bible college. I was worried, and my friend, my leaders were worried. We did not know how to take the Bible college out of the campus, where to put them. The classes were in session. So I sent out a prayer request. I said, we are in need of a place to house the Bible school. Lo and behold, after a week, a response came to me. They said, that church is willing to provide $40,000 for the Bible school to be located in a new place. He is the provider in missions. That's what Moses is introduced to. He said, I am Jehovah Jireh. Anything you want to be transformed in your life or in the mission, you see something impossible, a notorious man not willing to give in. God said, I could change Jacob. I could change him. I am the transformer. I will tell you the last story and close. Another pastor, he was visiting a home where the wife was sick. She had a tumor kind of a thing in the stomach. She was suffering, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you are going to die in 3 months. And the family did not know where to go because the doctors washed their hands off, as we say in India, and they had to run to the magicians. Finally, they came to the pastor and said, here is a problem. Can your God help us? A group of pastors went to the house and prayed, conducted a prayer meeting for 1 week over this woman. One night on a Sunday evening, she came to the church and went back home. They were sleeping in the house midnight. You know, in India, in villages, some villages do not have the electricity. It's pitch dark. No, by 8 o'clock, it's pitch dark outside, like midnight. You remember in the land of Egypt, there was a thick darkness covering the land? It's something like that. Pitch dark. And in the midnight, she gets up suddenly and says, I have seen the light. And there is no light, actually. They don't even have electricity. And husband says, go to sleep. You may have dreamt. She says, I have seen the light. Says, what light? I saw a light falling from the roof right on my tumor. And I am healed. God has healed me. I have seen God's light. They go to the neighbor's house and knock on the door and say, they open the door and the lady shouts, I have seen the light. They go to the neighbor's house, next neighbor's house. They knock on the door, midnight. And they open the door. They say, I have seen the light. There was a great prayer meeting that midnight. Everybody gathered around that house and they called for the pastors. The pastor preached to all the people in the village in the midnight because of one healing that happened. I have seen the light. This is what will happen. Moses heard this voice from God and said, yes, Lord, I'm willing to become that bush if you want to burn within me. I never would like to go to a mission field without God wanting to burn in me. Because I will not show the light to others. I would like the light of Christ to be seen in me so that the nations will come to the light and the glory of Jesus. This morning as we pray, would you please bow your heads down in prayer? The Lord wants to burn in us as a light. He is the burning fire. He is the divine fire, divine flame. He wants to burn in you. He wants to burn in me. So that when you go back to your places, the nations will see the light of God, light of the cross over you, over your ministry. Lord, we want to thank you. Thank you that you are our God and you are God of impossibility. God, Jehovah Jireh, God who can transform even the wicked sinner, the most notorious. Lord, we pray and come before you this morning that you will be gracious unto us. Yes, Lord, you have seen the suffering. The cries of the people always climb up to you. We pray that you will help us to hear the cry and see the suffering. Burn the fire of God in us. So, Lord, we can draw the nations to your glory. We thank you. Thank you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.